Yes, Mataji, recording starting.
Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Holiness Birkrishna Goswami Maharaj. Maharaj is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 26th chapter, 1st verse onwards. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. To give a brief introduction of Maharaj, I'm handing the call to Abhiram Shakti Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you. All Gurus to Srila Prabhupada. Please welcome His Holiness Birkrishna Goswami Maharaj on our Bhakti Japa Sangha conference calls. Maharaj spending some time in his childhood time in the New York area. He started his Krishna consciousness journey in the Western University College, where he was introduced to Vedic scriptures translated by Srila Prabhupada, and he was impressed with that. And with that introduction to Krishna consciousness, he devoted his life completely to ISKCON. He got initiated in Gainesville, Florida, which is Alachua basically, in 1971. And after that, he shortly got initiated there. He took sannyas initiation in 1978 in Peru. And he has been doing preaching throughout the America, Fiji, and some of the Eastern European countries. He has written 2 books. He is known for his technological usage of use of technology in terms of preaching. He is one of the first ISKCON guru who has adopted online social media preaching through social media like Facebook, Twitter, emails, Zoom, and he is available to all the devotees throughout the world through this medium. If I say what I like personally about Maharaj, he is available to devotees very well. His approachability is so known to us that we can feel comfortable approaching him any time and ask questions, get some clarification, guidance very easily. He has made at least 4 places as a base for him. North Carolina is one of the main things when he started in 1982. The temple at New Goloka is practically built by his own hands, his own design. And subsequently, he has made Mississippi, Louisiana as another basis. He's spent a lot of time in Fiji preaching there. So wherever he is in the world, we can approach him through emails or WhatsApp, and his response is available within few hours. So he is the GBC for these areas. And one thing I like about Maharaj's classes is his description of Vrindavan, because he spent quite some time in Vrindavan, India. So when he is giving a class on Vrindavan, we feel like we are in the Vrindavan and we are practically seeing each of those places with our own eyes, and we are physically there to experience the Krishna Leela, Krishna Katha in Vrindavan. So with this, I would like to welcome Maharaj by 3 times saying Hari Bol. So please say Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol,
Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
So Maharaj,
thank you very much for welcoming me like that. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Yes, Maharaj. I was just concerned with the microphone. Okay, so we're ready to start?
Yes, Maharaj, please.
Okay. So I'm going to, I don't know how you do that. You don't read responsively, obviously. So I'm just going to read the verse and the purport and speak a little bit.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. What I'm going to do, okay. You disabled screen sharing, so I wanted to actually share my screen so I could show you the verse at the same time.
Vardhana Mataji, can you activate the screen sharing?
Yes, Maharaj, now you are a co-host. You can do it, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, so I wanted to, so what I usually do is have people read the verse at the same time. And you can see it right now on your screen?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so we're going to start. So, okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shulakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tuzmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to read the Sanskrit, and then we'll go on the word-by-word translations, and the translation, and then the purport. Here we go. Narduvacha sa ikada mahishvaso ratam panchasvam ashugam dvisham dvichakram ekapsham trivenam panchabanduram ekara rashmeka damanam ekanidam dvikumbhakubharam pancha praharanam sapta Varutam panchavikramam haimo paskaram arugya swarna varmakshayekshudahi ekadasha chamunata panchaprashtam agadvanam. Okay, the synonyms. Naruvacha, Narda said, Saha King Puranjana Ekada, once upon a time, Mahayishvara carrying his strong bow and arrows, Ratam chariot, Pancha Ashvam, five horses, Ashugam going very swiftly, Dwi Isham, two arrows, Dwi Chakram, two wheels, Eka, one, Aksham, axle, tree, three, Venam, flags, Pancha, five, Banduram, obstacles, Eka, one, Rashmi, rope, rain, Eka, one, Damanam, chariot driver, Eka, one, Nidam, sitting place, Dwi two, Kubaram post to which the harness are fixed, Pancha five, Baharanam weapons, Sapta seven, Varutam coverings or ingredients of the body, Pancha five, Vikramam processes, Haima golden, Upas karam ornaments, Aruya riding on, Swarna golden, Varma armor, Akshaya inexhaustible, Ishudihi quiver, Ekadasha 11, Chamunata, commanders, Pancha, five, Prashtam, destinations, objectives, Agat went, Vanam, to the forest. So the translation is as follows. The great sage Narada continued, my dear king, once upon a time, King Puranjana took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows and accompanied by 11 commanders, he sat on his chariot driven by five swift horses, and went to the forest named Pancha Prashta. He took with him on that chariot two explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated on two wheels and one revolving axle. Let me just make sure, okay. On the chariot were three flags, one rein, one chariot driver, one sitting place, two poles to which the harness was fixed, five weapons and seven coverings. The chariot moved in five different styles and five obstacles lay before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold. Quite complicated. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ijai. These three verses explain how the material body of the living entity is under the control of the three qualities of the external energy. The body itself is the chariot, and the living entity is the owner of the body, as explained in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, text 13. Dehinosmen yatha dehe. The owner of the body is called the dehi, and he is situated within this body, specifically within the heart. The living entity is driven by one chariot driver. The chariot itself is made of three gunas, three qualities of material nature, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 61. Yantra Rudani Mayaya. The word yantra means carriage. The body is given by material nature, and the driver of that body is Paramatma, the Supersoul. The living entity is seated within the chariot. This is the actual position. The living entity is always being influenced by the three qualities, sattva, goodness, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 13. Tribir gunamayar bhavai. The living entity is bewildered by the three qualities of material nature. These three qualities are described in this verse as three flags. By a flag, one can come to know who is the owner of the chariot, or who the owner of the chariot is. Similarly, by the influence of the three qualities of material nature, one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has eyes to see can understand how the body is being driven, influenced by the particular type of quality of material nature. In these three verses, the activity of the living entity is described to prove how the body becomes influenced by the quality of ignorance, even when a person wants to be religious. Narada Muni wanted to prove to King Prachinibhati Shat that the king was being influenced by the tama guna, the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious. According to Karma Kandya, the process of fruitive activities, a person performs various sacrifices directed by the Vedas. And in all those sacrifices, animal killing or experimenting on the life of animals to test the power of Vedic mantras is enjoined. Animal killing is certainly conducted under the influence of the mode of ignorance. Even though one may be religiously inclined, animal sacrifice is recommended in the Shastras, not only in the Vedas, but even in the modern scriptures of other sects. These animal sacrifices are recommended in the name of religion, but actually animal sacrifice is meant for persons in the mode of ignorance. When such people kill animals, they can at least do so in the name of religion. However, when the religious system is transcendental, like the Vaishnava religion, there is no place for animal sacrifice. Such a transcendental religious system is recommended by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Purichyaja, Mamikam Sharanam Braja, Aham Twam Sarvapapebhyo, Mokshiyashyami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Because King Prachinibhati Shat was engaged in performing various sacrifices in which animals were killed, Narada Muni pointed out that such sacrifices are influenced by the mode of ignorance. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Projito Koitavotra. All kinds of religious systems that are involved in cheating are completely kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion dealing with one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, animal sacrifice is not recommended. In the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, there is no recommendation for animal sacrifices. In these three verses, King Puranjan is going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the living entities being driven by the mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different activities for sense gratification. The material body itself indicates that the living entity is already influenced by the three modes of material nature and that he is driven to enjoy material resources. When the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, its infection becomes very acute. When it is influenced by the mode of passion, the infection is at the symptomatic stage. However, when the body is influenced by the mode of goodness, the materialistic infection becomes purified. The ritualistic ceremonies recommended in religious systems are certainly on the platform of goodness, but because within this material world, even the mode of goodness is sometimes polluted by the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance, a man in goodness is sometimes driven by the influence of ignorance. It is herein described that King Paranjana once went to the forest to kill animals. This means that he, the living entity, came under the influence of the mode of ignorance. The forest in which King Paranjana engaged in hunting was named Pancha Prashta. The word pancha means five, and this indicates the objects of the five senses. The body has five working senses, namely the hands, the legs, the tongue, the rectum, and the genitals. By taking full advantage of these working senses, the body enjoys material life. The chariot is driven by five horses, which represent the five sense organs, namely the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. These sense organs are very easily attracted by the sense objects. Consequently, the horses are described as moving swiftly. On the chariot, King Paranjana kept two explosive weapons, which may be compared to a hankara, or false ego. This false ego is typified by two attitudes: I am this body, ahanta, and everything in my bodily relationships belongs to me, mamata. The two wheels of the chariot may be compared to the two moving facilities, namely sinful life and religious life. The chariot is decorated with three flags, which represent the three modes of material nature. The five kinds of obstacles or uneven roads represent the five kinds of air passing within the body. These are prana, apana, udana, samana, and dhyana. The body itself is covered by seven coverings, namely skin, muscle, fat, blood, marrow, bone, and semen. The living entity is covered by three subtle material elements and five gross material elements. These are actually obstacles placed before the living entity on the path of liberation from material bondage. The word rashmi, rope, in this verse indicates the mind. The word nida is also significant, for nida indicates the nest where a bird takes rest. In this case, nida is the heart, whereas the living entity is situated. The living entity sits in one place only. The causes of his bondage are two: lamentation and illusion. In material existence, the living entity simply hankers to get something he can never get. Therefore, he is an illusion. As a result of being in this illusory situation, the living entity is always lamenting. Thus, lamentation and illusion are described herein as dvi kubra, the two posts of bondage. The living entity carries out various desires through five different processes, which indicate the working of the five working senses. The golden ornaments and dress indicate if the living entity is influenced by the quality of rajaguna, passion. One who has a good deal of money or riches is especially driven by the mode of passion. Being influenced by the mode of passion, one desires so many things for enjoyment in this material world. The 11 commanders represent the 10 senses in the mind. The mind is always making plans with the 10 commanders to enjoy the material world. The forest named Pancha Prashta, where the king went to hunt, is the forest of the five sense objects: form, taste, sound, smell, and touch. Thus, in these three verses, Narada Muni describes the position of the material body and the encagement of the living entity within it. Wow. Okay, so we'll go back to picture. Okay, so Om Migana Timiranda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly brought us out of the ocean of ignorance and opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, okay, so we will continue with this. So this is quite an elaborate description, and it is so elaborate, we don't have time to discuss all the different points. But what I would like to discuss right now is the three things, the three flags and the three modes of nature. Three flags actually refer to the three modes of nature, because these modes of nature are all pervasive within this material world, and they basically cause our entanglement. Of course, the ultimate cause of the entanglement is Krishna Bahir Mukha. Krishna Bahirmukha means that we turned our face away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are responsible. But when you first come into this material world, according to the Vedic literatures, you come into this material world in the mode of goodness, because you're not influenced by the other two modes. And then eventually, even though you're in the mode of goodness, and this shows the danger of the mode of goodness, you become contaminated by the other modes, because the material mode of goodness is not shuddha-sattva, it is not pure goodness, it is mixed. And the Bhagavad Gita describes that the modes of nature, that is goodness, passion, ignorance, sattva, rajas, tamas, they're always in struggle for control of the living entity. And sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the mode of passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion becomes prominent, defeating goodness and ignorance, and ignorance, you get the idea. So there's always flux. So you don't really have a stable condition in this material world, unless, of course, you're Krishna conscious. I mean, there's an interesting verse in the Bhagavatam that describes yasyasti bhakti bhagavacha kinchana savarkanas gunas tatra samasate sara arava bhaktasya kato mahadguna manoritain asati davato bahi. Okay, let's see without the glasses. So what this verse states is that one who is a devotee of Krishna, he has all good qualities. Samasate sura, that means he has godly qualities. And one who is not a devotee of Krishna, arava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorite nasati davato bahi, he doesn't have good qualities. Now that's a really radical statement, and I'd like to talk about that in relationship with the modes of nature. So what does that mean exactly? That someone who is not Krishna conscious has no good qualities. I mean, really interesting statement. Because sometimes we see people who are not in the Krishna conscious movement, people who are not God conscious, who exhibit some really nice qualities. Like they help people, they do so many things. Well, I'm going to explain that. Because even though they exhibit good qualities, those good qualities that they are exhibiting are coming from the mode of nature that's affecting them at that particular time. It's not actually coming from the soul. Because the Bhagavad Gita tells us, So this is also about the modes of nature, which we said was today's topic. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us that everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. No one can refrain from action even for a moment. Now that's quite interesting. So if one is not Krishna conscious, then the qualities you're exhibiting are coming from the modes of nature that happen to be affecting you at a certain time. So let's say if I was not Krishna conscious, I'm not saying that I am, but let's say if I was not Krishna conscious, hypothetically, then if I was doing some really good acts right now, but then because the modes of nature are always in flux, then ultimately I will succumb to the lower modes of nature, passion and ignorance, because they're always in flux. So in this way, we can say that someone who is not Krishna conscious, he or she has no good qualities, whereas someone who is Krishna conscious has all good qualities, because they're above the modes of nature. Like in this verse, it talks about hankering and lamentation like that. Brahmabhuta, Prasanatman, the Sachitina Kangshati, Samak Sarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madbhaktim, Labhateparam. So one who is a devotee, he's on the Brahma platform, Brahmabhuta, situated in spiritual life. And so he doesn't hanker or lament. And he's not under the modes of nature, and he's predictable. Someone who is not Krishna conscious is not predictable, because sometimes they can be influenced by different modes of nature. So here we're hearing about the modes of nature, and the person being described here, Puranjana, in one sense is every man. He's us, you know, Puranjana. That means a person who lives in the city or a person who lives in the body. And Puranjana, Puranjana is actually camera. Puranjana is actually teaching us about these modes of nature. So that's the essence of the whole thing, these three modes of nature. So what does it mean, our influence of the three modes of nature? How do we get influenced by the three modes of nature? Krishna also describes this in the Gita. One thing I want to mention is the Gita has over 100 of its verses dealing with the three modes of nature. So it's a very important topic. So in the Gita, it's described that our entanglement is due to the association with the modes. It's an interesting verse. Karanam guna sangasha sadasad janma jonishu. That the living entity is entangled due to guna sangha. Guna sangha means association with the modes. And so one way I describe this to people is that the material world is like a place that is covered by wet paint. And when you have a place that's covered by wet paint, if you touch anything, you get the color of that paint on your hand or whatever you touch it with. So the material world, being covered with these modes of nature, affects our consciousness when we come in contact with certain aspects of this material world. Now, what do I mean? Krishna is very explicit in the Gita. There's food in different modes, and there's determination in different modes, there's understanding in different modes. And apart from the Gita's descriptions, there's people in different modes. There are times of day that are in different modes of nature. There are types of music that are in different modes of nature. Practically everything in this world has some mode of nature connected to it. Everything. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually advised us when he was asked, what is the quality of a Vaishnava? Lord Chaitanya answered, a satsanga jag, a Vaishnava char. I mean, first answer Lord Chaitanya gave when he was asked about the qualities of a Vaishnava. What did he say? A satsanga. One should avoid bad association. A satsanga chag. That means one renounces bad association. A Vaishnava achar. The behavior of a Vaishnava is to give up bad association. Specifically because that bad association colors the consciousness. Let me give you an example of that from the Shastras. Okay, let's go to the Mahabharata. So in the Mahabharata, you have personalities like grandfather Bhishma, who is a Mahajana. What is a Mahajana? Mahajana means a great soul who sets an example for other people. In fact, the statement of the Mahabharata is, what is it? Mahajani Yena Gata Sapanta, that one can't understand about religion or Dharma by reading the Vedas. One can't understand religion and Dharma by argumentation, by logic, reasoning, Tarko Pratishta Shutina Ibina. It's a famous verse in the Mahabharata. And so, but Grandfather Bhishma is one of the Dwadasa Mahajanas, the great, great personalities who set an example for all of us. So, then we read the Mahabharata. And what do we find in the Mahabharata? Grandfather Bhishma acts in a way that we would call demoniac. Let me give an example of that. What did he do when there was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi? I think you all know that. What he did was that he didn't do anything. That's also an action. When you don't do anything, you're responsible for not doing something too. Let's say if someone is attacked and I have the ability to defend you, let's say you're being attacked, then I'm responsible for not defending you. If you have the ability, I mean, even a devotee, because a devotee has higher spiritual knowledge, if we don't preach, we're held responsible for not preaching. And if we do preach, we get Krishna's special mercy. So anyway, Grandfather Bhishma didn't do anything to stop the disrobing of Draupadi. Of course, Krishna did something. You know, we know Krishna. He provided the unlimited sari for Draupadi. And others like Kripacharya, Dronacharya, they didn't do anything either. And these were great personalities because Grandfather Bhishma, he's the Mahajan, but these other personalities, they're great. Grandfather Bhishma knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew right from wrong. Of course, you can say he made a promise, but you know, promises are not important when they have adverse effects. That's a message of the Bhagavatam that Grandfather Bhishma later recognizes when he's lying on his bed of arrows and Grandfather Bhishma was fighting on the wrong side. I mean, so many things he did wrong. Why did he do all those things wrong? It's called Guna Sangasha. And I'll tell you how that happened. Because, as Prabhupada explains, Grandfather Bhishma was eating food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. Now, I'm sure Duryodhana's cook and all of Duryodhana's associates were not of the highest caliber. In other words, their consciousness was low. And so, because he was eating food that had certain modes of nature connected to that, those foods, his mind became wicked. Simple. Not only wicked, and here's another interesting information or a tidbit of information from the Mahabharata, but he became possessed. Now, you may say, oh, I didn't read that in the Mahabharata. Well, let me tell you the story in the Mahabharata. Once upon a time, Duryodhana and company were captured by the Gandharvas because they had gone to harass Arjuna and the Pandavas when they were in exile. And what happened is the Gandharvas captured them and they didn't have any way to escape. They had absolutely no way to escape from the Gandharvas. And then Arjuna saved them. Actually, Arjuna saved Duryodhana and the Kurus from the Gandharvas. And Duryodhana became so obsessed, so disturbed, because why? Because he was embarrassed. You know, Kshatriyas have this pride. So he became embarrassed. Oh, I have taken help from Arjuna, who was my enemy. And Duryodhana decided to die. And he had an authorized way of dying, which was to go into meditation, stop eating, stop sleeping, everything like that. So he went into deep meditation to leave his body. Because, you know, these were personalities with great power. Not like nowadays, you get people who meditate and they press their nose in a certain way and, you know, you think they're great meditators. But these personalities, even the demons, the reason they were such great personalities, apart from the change of age from Dwarpa to Kali, was that Duryodhana was actually an incarnation of Kali, the Kali Yuga. And Shakuni was an incarnation of Dwarpa Yuga. So they worked together. Kali Yuga is called the worst of the demigods in the Mahabharata. So he was meditating, getting ready to leave his body. And then the other demons who had taken shelter on the earth, because the demons actually, as described in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after being defeated by the Supreme Personality of God and the demigods, took shelter on the earth in Kshatriya families. So these demons in subtle forms, in the subtle form, these demons in a subtle form decided to take Duryodhana out of his body and give him a pep talk. Now, what is a pep talk? That's interesting. A pep talk means like before a football game or something like that, you say, you can really get those guys. You know, please, you know, you have the power, don't worry. So they encouraged Duryodhana. They said, don't worry. You're going to be successful because we're going to possess, here's where the story is, we're going to possess grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Kripacharya. So they were able to be possessed, and of course Duryodhana came back to external consciousness and jumped up and happy as a lark. Then he was so happy with that, so he fought later on. So they were able to be possessed because of eating food. Wow, just a little food. I mean, what's wrong with food? But Prabhupada, and this may appear really fanatical, you know, sometimes people say, those of you Hare Krishnas are extremely fanatical. I guess we are, because we're trying to protect ourselves. I mean, just like right now, it's the coronavirus time. Some people, they're just like, don't pay any attention to the virus. They don't wear a mask. Of course, I don't have to wear a mask while giving class on the internet because there's no way the virus is going to be transmitted to you through the internet. It just doesn't work like that. So don't worry about it. So some people are like that. They just go out and they say, you know, it's just a conspiracy. There's no virus. And then they go to a big kirtan and everyone's chanting and all the microbes are going out and people aren't wearing a mask. You say, if Krishna wants me to die, I will die. Well, that's simply foolish. Because, yes, Krishna's protecting us, but Krishna also gave us masks to wear, seatbelts to wear in the car. We talked about this the last few days. So don't make Krishna your servant. You should take adequate precautions. So in the same way, one has to stay safe from the influence of the illusory energy by eating food cooked by devotees. That's very important. Prabhupada said, if you eat food cooked by someone who is not Krishna conscious, then it'll make the mind wicked. Prabhupada's statement. And actually, I experienced that. Let me tell you about my own experience with that. When I was a young brahmachari, about 500 years ago, actually it wasn't that far away, but when I was a young brahmachari, 1972, I believe, I was traveling with a sannyasi, who shall remain nameless to protect the innocent. So I was traveling with a sannyasi, and we decided that we didn't want to take the trouble to cook. You know, you're traveling in a van and, you know, cooking, and you want to preach. So instead of cooking, we just went into the supermarket. At that time, it was called grocery store. Went into the grocery store, bought everything, including bread. And it was a nice bread. It was called Oro Wheat, you know, whole wheat bread. Of course, we were vegetarians, obviously. And we offered to Krishna. And sometimes we did a real quick offering. We said, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, which Prabhupada never said to do. That just like came out of somebody's imagination. But anyway, and sometimes we also offered the whole supermarket to Krishna, except for the meat. So anyway, so we were eating this food cooked by people who weren't Krishna conscious or by machines or whatever. And after a few days, we discovered that our consciousness was dropping. And so we're like thinking, you know, what's happening? We're chanting, we're preaching Krishna consciousness. And then we thought, well, the principles of sadhana bhakti are important, not just once a week or when you're at a temple, but every day. And so at that point, we changed our whole lifestyle. We started cooking, even in a van. This was a cargo van we were traveling in. And we had a little gas stove. And I was pumping the gas stove as he was driving. And I was rolling the rotis on the wheel well in the back of the van. And then our consciousness became good. It was a very simple thing. We, you know, we made that experiment. I know it wasn't a controlled experiment, like you scientists are interested in, but it was an experiment, and it really showed us the importance of eating food cooked by devotees. Because when a person thinks something or feels something when they're cooking, it actually goes into the molecular structure. We can talk about quantum mechanics right now, how consciousness influences things on a quantum level. So it actually is a fact. Your consciousness influences things on the quantum level. And when the quantum level happens to be dealing with food, then you eat the food and the food enters into your body according to the Ayurvedas. The food gradually gets transformed into blood, and all these different elements mentioned in this verse, blood, semen, bones, skin, etc. And the blood carries the consciousness of the living entity, according to the Vedic literatures. And so your consciousness changes. So there's a simple incident from the Mahabharata and from my own life, of course. We did not become demoniac. But there's a simple incident from the Mahabharata that actually shows or proves the point that association with the modes of nature, particularly food. Why does Krishna talk about food in the Gita? And of course, not only is prasadam in the transcendental mode of goodness, but prasadam actually inoculates you against the other modes. Now here we're not just talking about wearing a mask. We're talking about a vaccine. It's one thing, you know, protect yourself against the modes, or sorry, against the virus, by wearing a mask. Where's my mask? Just show you. You wear a mask, you protect yourself against the virus. So you wear a mask and protect yourself against the virus. And then now they're looking for a vaccine, and that will give you protection against the virus, inoculate you, and get your immune system revved up. So if the virus ever comes, you can just like wipe it out in a second. So we have the same thing to protect us against the modes. And what is that? Of course, we mentioned prasadam. But then there's also association, the hearing process. Because when you hear something, Lord Kapila Dev says, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. When you hear from Satam Pasangan Mama Virya Sambhado, from the great devotees about Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's nature or devotee, or the great devotees or devotional service or the philosophy, then Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. It goes from your ear to your heart and then inoculates you against the modes of nature. And we have other processes of inoculation too. Our process, another process, is the sadhana process, other aspects of the sadhana process, like waking up early in the morning. I know many of you, and I've spoken about this before, and sometimes it agitates people when I talk about it, many of you like to go to sleep really late at night and wake up late. Well, there's a problem with that, because we talk about the modes of nature. In the early morning, the mode of goodness is prominent, like before sunrise, called the Brahma Muhurta hour. That means it's the time for spiritual. It's a spiritual time. Brahman, Brahma Muhurta. It's not the time of Lord Brahma. It's the Muhurta, the time when things are spiritual and you can concentrate. Later on, you get other times, like you get the passion time in the morning, which starts, you know, about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning when you go to work and you're really enthusiastic. And at night, then you have like ignorance creeps in around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So these modes are very important. Like when Paranjana went to hunt, it's described by the Acharyas and Prabhupada, he was influenced by the mode of ignorance. Ignorance. You know, he was angry. You know, you're hunting when you're angry and you're lusty, you know, because there was lust and anger. So it's a mixture of passion and ignorance. You know, if you talk about pure ignorance, that means he'd go to sleep. He wouldn't be able to hunt. He'd just be asleep, like many people I know who sleep through the morning. So he was influenced by ignorance. So this is a problem. So we have to be careful of these modes of nature. It's not just my invention, Krishna's invention. It is Krishna's invention, but it's all over the material world. And so we have to inoculate ourselves daily. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. What does that mean? Prabhupada translates that as by regular attendance in Bhagavatam class, rendering service of pure devotee, all that is inauspicious in the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. So, in other words, careful. Like Prabhupada said about his Western disciples, and that refers to all of you, even if you're not Western, which I don't think most of you are Westerns. He said, you're not in a, my, he says these Western boys and girls are not enough afraid of Maya. So Maya for us and Paranjana here means the three modes of material nature. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to give you some examples of other great personalities who succumbed to the modes of nature and became demonic. Here's another example, one or two more examples for you. One is a personality from the Ramayana who helped Lord Ram. He was one of the most important personalities helping Lord Ram get Sita back. What was his name? Dvidvita. They were actually two brothers, Dvidvita and Mainda. They were gorillas. I'm sure you read about them in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam too, in the Krishna book. So Dvidvita was a great devotee of Lord Ram. Great, great devotee of Lord Ram. Completely dedicated to Lord Ram's service. Of course, there is some indication in the Ramayana that he offended Lakshman. So if one wants to be a devotee of Ram, one has to be a devotee of Lakshman simultaneously. It's just like Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one should not honor Lord Chaitanya and dishonor Lord Nityananda. He says it's better to be an atheist than to worship one and not worship the other. So it's the same thing, Rama and Lakshman, they are none different than Krishna and Balaram and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. So Dvidvita Gorilla offended Lakshman, and then because of that offense, he took up some bad association. He became really bad. And later on, during Krishna's pastimes, he basically offended Balaram when Balaram was having his rasa dance. And he did so many horrible things, like revealing different portions of his body to Balaram and the girls. And Balaram killed him. Of course, Balaram, Lakshman, the same person. And Krishna and Balaram are the same person. Nadvaita Chuta Nadir Anantaram. Rupam, Ajam Purana Purusham, Raviyovanam Cha. So anyway, this is an indication how by bad association with certain modes of nature, one can become fallen. And one more example I'm going to give about that proves the point. You know, first we start with Grandfather Bhishma, then Dvidvita. But this final example is actually the most shocking example. Krishna had a son. And his son was with the earth planet. And was the earth planet. So the earth planet is known as Bhumi. So Krishna had a son with the earth planet when he appeared in his form as Varaha, the bore incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what he did is he picked up the earth planet with his tusks. We know from the Brahma Sangita, Angani Yasha Sakalendriya Driti Manti, that Krishna could do anything with any part of his body. So he impregnated the earth. Bhumi. Bhumi is a great devotee. Just like you see in Tirupati, Tirumala, there's Sri and Bhu being worshipped along with Venkateshwara. So Bhumi became impregnated and she gave birth to a little boy. And he was a really nice boy. His name was Boma, which means Bhumi's kid. So anyway, so he became... he was a very nice boy. And then she had some inclination. Bhumi had some inclination that later on Krishna was going to kill her son or kill his son. And she asked Krishna, please don't kill our son. And Krishna said, okay, I will not kill our son unless you give me permission. Okay, she was very happy. But Krishna's more tricky than that. So later on, this little boy, Boma, grows up, and he, by bad association, we're talking about eating food cooked by non-devotees, associating with the wrong people, he became a demon. And he got the name Boma Sura. And that's a contraction of Boma and Asura. Asura means not godly or demonic. And Boma, the earth, you know, son of the earth. So Boma Sura... he did horrendous things. He was kidnapping all these girls, 16,100 girls. Phew. It's quite a feat if you can kidnap so many girls and keep them under control. But anyway, so he kidnapped all these girls and Krishna came to rescue these girls. Now, when Krishna came to rescue these girls, what did he do? He brought with him Satyabhama. Now, incidentally, Satyabhama and Bhumi are the same person, just expansions, Bhumi's expansion of Satyabhama. So when Satyabhama was with Krishna and Krishna was fighting with Boma or Bomasura, she said to Krishna, you got to kill him. And Krishna said, thank you for giving me permission. So in essence, Krishna got permission from Bhumi to kill their son. And so Krishna had to kill him. Krishna killed his own son because of bad association. You know, so that is the great danger. Now, on the other hand, okay, let's be a little positive here. So by good association, someone who is demonic can become Krishna conscious or a great saintly person. I mean, of course, we can use the example of many of Prabhupada's followers. Prabhupada said his magic was turning hippies to happies, or people who were actually completely gone, eating meat and doing so many things like that. And by his association, just a little, so he just went out in Tompkins Square Park and played drum and chanted the holy name. And things changed immediately. They didn't understand the philosophy. They weren't convinced by the philosophy. They were convinced, not convinced, they were convinced later on, but they were attracted by Krishna's holy name and by the association with the holy name of Krishna, which is non-different from Krishna. Their consciousness changed immediately, or within a little while, hopefully. So... that's very amazing, by good association. And then on the other hand, let me give another example, good association, and then we'll take questions. I know we're reaching our time. Krishna says, Kalawasmi, I am time. So let's give two examples of, and two more examples of good association. One is Valmiki, who before that was a robber, thief, dacoit, you know, whatever you want to call him. And he was given a mantra by the Sapta Rishis. This is from the Valmiki Ramayana, not Tulsidas Ramayana. Valmiki Ramayana is the authorized Ramayana. He was given a mantra by the Sapta Rishis, Mara, because he couldn't chant Ram. And so by associating with Ram's name, he became such a great devotee that he was able to compose the Ramayana and host Sita Devi in his ashram. So that's the benefit of good association. Another example from Chaitanya's pastimes is Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. This prostitute approached Haridas Thakur for all sorts of bad things. And Haridas Thakur made her wait for 3 days, and she was hearing the holy names, offering obeisances to Tulsi Devi. And ultimately, she became such a great devotee, she renounced everything. And so these are good stories about association and inoculation. You know, vaccination, protection. Remember these two things. So if you want to make quick advancement in devotional service and not fall down from the standard and not deviate, not be like King Paranjana going out in the mode of ignorance to hunt and kill animals, then it's important to control who and what you associate with. And of course, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sastra koi. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. As it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by good association, you can get all perfection in life. Sarva siddhi hoy. So we should seek good association. Of course, we do have Prabhupada in his books, in his recordings, in his mission, his service. We can always be with Srila Prabhupada. I mean, who's better association than Prabhupada? And of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says if one can get the foot bathing water from the pure devotee, or the foot dust of the pure devotee, or prasadam remnants of the pure devotee, these are very powerful substances. Now, fortunately, when I was with Prabhupada, I was able to eat the remnants of Srila Prabhupada. And one time I ate the remnants and I ate everything on the plate except for the plate itself. I ate the grape stems, the pits, and everything like that. So that's association. But the sound vibration is the most important association. And then we'll never be overcome by these modes of nature. Careful, avoid bad association, just to end this discussion. Satsangachage Vaishnavachar, and also sadhu sangha. Take good association, follow the sadhana process. You know, rise early, be careful what you eat, be careful what type of music you listen to, be careful what type of Bollywood movies you watch. I know it sounds really fanatic, but everything has the modes of nature connected to it. I mean, it's your choice. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you choose. I can't force you, no one can choose, but I'm just giving you the methodology to rapidly advance and be happy, because if you are Krishna conscious, Kevalananda Kanda, you'll be always happy. Otherwise, as described in this verse, one will be lamenting and hankering. That's King Paranjana, lamenting and hankering. So, on that happy note, I guess, do you have questions? You allow questions on this? Who is in charge? No, we can take questions.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for wonderful class. It was really instructive. If anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for this class. That paint analogy was really great. I really liked that. Drove the point home.
Glad you liked it.
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is this idea that, you know, this analogy that you use about inoculation of a vaccine, you know? And so you said that by associating with the transcendental, it accomplishes two things. It protects us against the moles, and it also inoculates us.
Yes.
So I'm trying to understand the distinction between the two.
Okay. Well, that's the metaphor I used about the mask. I think what do I do with my mask? Here's my mask. I use about the mask. The mask protects us against the modes. But if we get the modes, it doesn't protect. You know, once it's in your body, it's not. I mean, it's not the modes. Sorry, it's not the virus. I mean, actually, the modes are a virus. So once the virus is in your body, the mask isn't going to do any good, except to protect others. So you need inoculation. And also another point. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. This is a point I wanted to make, that we are associating during the day with the modes of nature. There's no way to avoid it. Like if you're working a job, or even myself, I'm supervising some construction at the temple. And the people doing construction, they're not always in the transcendental mode of goodness, or very seldom in the transcendental mode of goodness, or maybe never in the mode of transcendental mode of goodness. So I have to associate with them. I have to talk to them. I may have to talk to them about mundane things, you know, just to make friends like that. And so I'm not able to just like chant all the time with them, although that's helpful. And so I need to be inoculated against the modes, their modes that are actually coming at me. It's true. I mean, it's just like a person works a job. You've got to do all sorts of mundane things, talk about mundane, you know, small talk, which in the Nectar of Instruction, that's called prajalpa. You got to do it. It means life. Life means living in the world. You got to be just like a regular person too. And so then I'm protected because I have this good sadhana. I've taken my vaccination. I've taken my vaccination this morning and then I'm protected. So there's two things, you know, you protect yourself internally and externally. Externally is, you know, as far as possible, do things that are not going to affect your consciousness. You know, be careful. I was talking about the eating process. I think that's the most infectious type of activity we can have, because the food gets transformed somehow or other, affects the consciousness. But then, even if you do come in contact with the modes, you need to be strong enough and with good sadhana to not succumb to them. Is that all right to answer the question?
I'm still struggling a little bit. So if you come in contact with the modes and you have good sadhana, then one way that association, that good association will protect you will be that you won't be influenced.
That's right.
By the modes that you come in contact with.
Right.
But the other way that the good association protects you is, this is where I get a little bit stuck. The other way is that maybe the modes that you already have dealing with, it purifies you of those. Is that the idea? Is that the other way?
Well, the other way that you're protected is that when you're doing things for Krishna's service. So Krishna gives you special protection. For example, let's say I'm going out and dealing with people who are in different modes of nature, coming in contact with them, but it's doing it for Krishna's service. So if your life is dedicated, let's say if you're working a job and you're making money and the money is being used to maintain your family, which is bringing them to Krishna consciousness, that's Krishna's service. So Krishna protects you in that way too. So there's other ways you're protected from the modes of nature. It's not just the inoculation in the morning. It's not just being careful. But if you're always engaged in serving Krishna, in offering the results to Krishna, you know, karma yoga, then Krishna directly protects you. So, I mean, you're protected. You don't have to worry about it. It's not that I'm trying to instill in people like an abject fear of just like touching anything. I mean, that would be terrible. You know, just, you know, all the time you're not only wearing a mask, you're wearing blindfold, you're wearing earplugs, and you never go out of your house. That's not what I'm suggesting. We have to come in contact with things that are in the modes of nature, like the wet paint. But if we're inoculated and we're serving Krishna, we will be protected. And Grandfather Bhishma, he was not serving Krishna. You know, and he was not inoculated. And anyway, he was associated with very low modes of nature. And the point I'm making, whenever we can control the environment, we should do it.
Right.
That's the point. That's the real point. Whenever it's possible for us to control the environment in which we're in, the food we're eating, or the time we wake up in the morning, or the music we listen to, we should do it if we want to advance. I mean, everyone has to question themselves. What do you want in life? I mean, I know my goal in life is to serve Prabhupada and somehow or other advance in devotional service so I can serve Prabhupada life after life. I mean, that's the answer to my question. And if people say, no, this is a little too fanatic, I just want to enjoy the material, okay. That's your decision, but be clear about your goal. That's what it means to be on the intelligence platform. Krishna in the Gita says, you know, Vyavasayatmaka Putya, Ekeha Kurunandana, those who are on this path are one-pointed. So at least we should understand what our goals in life. And without having a goal in life, then you never get anywhere, materially or spiritually. So I'm talking about having a spiritual goal in life, wanting to be Krishna conscious, wanting to please Krishna, wanting to please Srila Prabhupada. And I know it sounds really fanatic, but you can do it. And that is, you can do it as a grahasa, you can do it as a vanaprasa, you can do it as a sannyasa, you can do it as a brahmachari. It's a question of understanding what your goal is and functioning accordingly. Not being fanatic, I mean, you could still have recreation, you could still work a job, you could still do practically anything. But you keep your mind fixed on your goal and, as far as possible, avoid bad association. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, satsanga chag, e vaishnava char. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Okay, we've got two people speaking.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, who has a question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
We can't hear you. The voice is cracking.
You can't hear me?
No, Maharaj, we can hear you clearly.
Oh, okay. So, no one has a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Okay.
Maharaj?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Maharaj, I have a question. Hare Krishna?
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
We can hear you, Mataji. Just ask question.
No, we can't. I can't hear from India.
The voices.
We can hear you. We can hear you, Mataji. Just ask question.
Mataji, just
Maharaj, question if you cannot... you gave various examples. Regarding the association of different devotees, I want to know. What was the example you gave from Ramayana
Okay. I gave two examples from the Ramayana. One was an example of good association. One was the example of bad association. The good example was Valmiki, that before Valmiki was Valmiki, he was a dacoit. And dacoit means he used to rob people. I'm not going to tell the whole story. It's a very long story about him. And he used to rob people, kill people, very low-class person. And then when he had the association of the Sapta Rishis who gave him the Mara mantra, and I think most of you know the story about Mara. You chant Mara, 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 Mara. It becomes Ram, 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 Ram. And by associating with Ram's name and these rishis, he became a great soul. So there's a story of good association, satsanga. The story of bad association from the Ramayana was the story of Dvidvida Gorilla. In the Ramayana, Dvidvida Gorilla is one of the assistants of Lord Ram and a great devotee. And when he got bad association, also offended Lakshman, he ended up actually harassing Balaram and the girls that Balaram was dancing with later on. That story is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so those are the two stories from the Ramayana of good. I'm sure there's other stories of good association too from the Ramayana, and I can't think of them right now, but there's quite a few stories in the Ramayana about that. Okay. Other questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for your very, very wonderful class.
Thank you.
So, Maharaj, my question is about, it doesn't seem easy to get out of the clutches of the three modes of material nature, even after so many years of practice. So what happens is, sometimes we see a person who's practicing for so long, but do something that is, you know, completely abominable, or even normal people wouldn't dare to do such an act. And this, we have seen that it is repeating through the history. I mean, there are people as good examples who are practicing for a long time. And they have, I mean, we can see that from their activities, they are above the modes of material nature. But as stray incidents here and there, we see such examples of devotees who are not able to, you know, who are succumbing to this. So we can practice, but how do we know that, you know, really internally, are we at least progressing towards getting out of the clutches of material modes of nature?
Very, very good question. Well, we should be practicing bhakti yoga. Now, of course, you may think that you already asked about that. But bhakti yoga, according to Rupa Goswami, means not only to do your activities, whether it's sadhana or your service, but to cultivate this mood of pleasing Krishna and the spiritual master and changing your sense of identity, that is who you are. Now, who we think we are is called, in this material world, is called an upadhi. Upadhi means a designation. For example, you know, I may think I'm a sannyasi, I may think I'm American, or I may think I'm Indian, or I may think I'm, God knows what I think I am. These are upadhis. So when you ask yourself who you are, you'll discover, and you actually are honest with yourself, you actually discover so many upadhis. So it's a question of bhakti is transforming that into being, I am a servant of Krishna. My business is to please my spiritual master. So when you're executing your devotional service or externally doing your devotional service through the ninefold process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, then the cultivation of changing your designation or changing your sense of identity has to be there too. Mm. Like when I think of myself, practically, I'm just giving my example. I think that who am I? I'm Prabhupada's servant. And therefore, when I'm going around doing things during the day, I identify myself as that person, you know, Prabhupada's servant. And so, therefore, I'm able to control what other impulses are there or whatever thoughts are there. Because I think, you know, this is not pleasing the Prabhupada. This is not pleasing the Krishna. So that's actually what it means to be advanced in devotional service. And because in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, it states, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udara Pashta Vegam. That one may have these impulses. It's not that being in Krishna consciousness is like taking Novocaine for the, I don't know if you know what Novocaine is, what the dentist gives you. It's not like taking anesthesia for your desires. But being in Krishna consciousness means to tolerate these things because of love. And that love means identification. You know, if you love Krishna, if you love your spiritual master, then you're identifying yourself in terms of that relationship. That's your whole identity. There's no other identity. I mean, naturally, you remember, you know, I'm in America. Naturally, you remember my name is so-and-so, like that. But really, you know, that's why when we take initiation, we get the name Das or Dasi or Devi Dasi. That means servant. So I'm a servant, Gopi Bharata. Here, Lord Chaitanya's statement in the same context is Gopi Bharata Padakamalar Dasa Dasa Dasanu Dasa. I'm a servant of a servant of a servant of the gopis who maintains the servant of Krishna who maintains the gopis. Yeah. Gopi Bharata Padakamala Dasa Dasa Dasanu Dasa. I'm a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis, you know. And it stated, that's my sense of identity. That's who I am. I'm not this thing. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm actually just a servant. And when you do that, that's bhakti. Anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma navritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam. There's three positive qualities listed by Srila Rupa Goswami. One is to serve Krishna actively, to do what Krishna wants. That's number two. And number three is do it with the mood of identifying yourself as Krishna's servant with a mood of devotion. And so that's has to be cultivated. And also another point is that even if a devotee deviates, we don't criticize him for that deviation. Because a devotee, it says the devotee may have some accidental deviation. And so we don't criticize someone for that accidental deviation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. So even an advanced devotee may, I mean, like Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was a great advanced devotee on the stage of Bhava. And he took birth as a deer because he was meditating on a deer and neglecting his spiritual practice. And that was due to his inattention. But we don't criticize him for that. He made a mistake. So anybody can make a mistake as they're advancing in devotional service and they learn from their mistakes. We don't criticize people for mistakes. Actually, we should make not spiritual mistakes, but it's good to somehow or other learn from things we did wrong. It's a part of life. All right, so it's not enough year after year after year after year to be chanting. It's good year after year after year after year to be chanting and everything, but you have to be cultivating that internal thing. Bhakti is meant to be executed with the subtle body. That's internally. The external body does things, yes, that's important too, but internally we have to be cultivating that sense of love, not just thinking I'm the enjoyer of bhakti. But we're meant to please Krishna. We are, anyway, that's our identity. So when I was thinking about that this morning, we were dancing for the deities, and I was thinking, and chanting, I was thinking, this is for Krishna's pleasure. You know, yesterday morning, we had Champaka Lata, who's an expert Bharatanatyam dancer, danced for Krishna's pleasure during the Mangalarti, and it was ecstatic because it helped me remember that everything was for Krishna's pleasure. It really helped me remember that point. This is for Krishna's pleasure, and we are meant to be instruments of Krishna's pleasure. And if you don't cultivate that, then it's going to take a long time. Okay?
Thank you so much.
So maybe time for one more question, because
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Abhiram Sakadas. Thank you.
Yes, Abhiram.
Good morning. My question is similar to the earlier two questions, a little different variation of that. As a practicing devotees, seemingly we do activities which seems like devotional services.
Yeah.
But then very soon devotional service remains behind and we get over by the mode of passion and sometimes ignorance, or most of the time ignorance. And we feel like we are doing devotional services. And there are many examples. I tend to go into that mode very often. And we justify internally to saying, no, we are doing Krishna's service. So how do we avoid that tendency to get into a mode of ignorance and passion where we are hurting devotees, we are doing activities which are not really Krishna conscious?
The answer is, how to avoid that? That's association. Keep an association with devotees who can correct us. And Rupa Goswami talks about that by the six loving exchanges. Adati pratigranati guyam akyati prichati. We have to have people we can bounce things off, people who can correct us, people who can give us feedback. There's no other way, because we're not on, you know, this really high level of devotional service like Srila Prabhupada. So we need association. You need close friends or in your family. You need to be able to hear from others. Actually, I was just thinking about that in regard to the verse we read today. That we're talking about Narada Muni talking to King Prachinibharishat, and that's why Narada Muni is telling the story of Paranjana. I think you all know that. So this is a story. It's an allegorical story. It's not a real story. There's no one named Paranjana. It's an allegory. It's a story. The reason Narada Muni is telling this story is because the king he is preaching to could not hear the truth directly. So Narada Muni starts the story previously, the previous chapter, once there was a king, O king. Because it says, if you give a fool good instruction, it just gets angry. Let's see the Sanskrit. Upadeshu hi murkanam prakopayana shantiye. That if you give a fool good instruction, he gets angry. So you have to learn how to give a person instruction. So to get back to your point, we need association. And by association, we should take correction. And that correction is essential in our spiritual lives. We don't live in isolation. So that means, let's say in your family, the man has to be ready to take a correction from his wife. The wife has to be ready to take correction from the husband. And that's hard for the false ego. False ego is I and mine. That's mentioned also in this particular verse in purport. It's hard to take correction, especially from, let's say, if you're married, from your wife, you know, man, or from your children, or from others, because we become so much impassioned. So the solution is to be ready to take correction. Thank you, Abhiram.
Thank you, Maharaj.
One more question. That's Manisha Chob. She has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. I have a question, Maharaj. Is like, as we are talking about association in this class, so what protected Vibhishan being associating with the Ravana, and what protected Prahlad Maharaj being associating with the Hiranyakashipu Prabhu Maharaj? So how to take this?
Well, first of all, they were pure devotees. And Vibhishan described his position in the Ramayana as like being a tongue in between the teeth. That's a direct quote from the Ramayana. So first of all, they were pure devotees. That means they were already inoculated, pure. They don't have any problem like that. And so being like that and always remembering Krishna and chanting Krishna's name, it's described that Vibhishan would always be chanting Ram Nam. And that protected him from that association. And Prahlad, he was always chanting Krishna's names because he was initiated by, well, he was in the womb, of course, by Narada Muni. He had heard the holy names of Krishna. So if one always, probably this is an important point, if one always remembers and chants the names of God, then he's protected. I remember being with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was at a TV interview one time. This was in Fort Worth, Texas. I arranged this TV interview for Prabhupada. And the man was talking, and Prabhupada was basically, you could see his lips moving, and he was going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you know, very softly, you couldn't hear it. And so Prabhupada was always thinking of the Maha Mantra. So if we're always thinking of the Maha Mantra, thinking of Krishna's pastimes, that protects us. So we find ourselves sometimes in difficult situations. So we have to keep remembering our position and keep thinking of the holy names. And you'll find that before you go to sleep at night, if you read something from Krishna book or chant yourself to sleep, you know, Hare Krishna, it's better than chanting, better than counting sheep. Or sometimes I count down from 100. It works pretty well. But it's so you'll find that you during the night you're thinking of Krishna instead of thinking of, you know, your financial situation or the virus or something like that. So a pure devotee can be protected. We can be protected too. We just try our best given the circumstance. And Krishna, what does Krishna say in the Gita? Ananyas chintayandamam yejanat paripasate tesham nityupayuktamam yogakshema vahamyaham. That for those who are dedicated to me, I carry what they lack. In other words, I protect them. And I preserve what they have. So we have to have faith like that, but we have to make some endeavor too. It's not that we make Krishna our servant. Okay, I think I have to go now because I do have a breakfast appointment, and they may get very upset if I don't get there on time. So thank you very much for where is this video going to be permanently? Is it on YouTube?
Yes, Maharaj.
What YouTube channel?
It's called as Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. We will forward the links.
Yeah, can you forward the link to me?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Thank you.
Maharaj, after a couple of days, it will also be on ISKCON Desire Tree. So it is available on both.
Okay. Yeah, but just I want it on YouTube so I can download it from YouTube.
Yeah. Yes, Maharaj.
So Abhiram, just text me the link on my phone number.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Or on WhatsApp, one of the two.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hari Bol.
Thank you,
Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Let us pay obeisances to Maharaj and to all the devotees. Vancha Kalpata Rupya Shukya
Shukya Shukya Shukya Shukya Shukya Shukya
Ganantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Shri Mahad Ki Jai. His Holiness Bishri
Krishna
Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna.